In Ireland, a new law came into effect on January 1st targeting blasphemy. The law imposes a penalty of as much as $35,000 for speaking badly of anything held sacred by any religion. The law has been greeted with bemusement and challenged by atheist groups, as NPR's Rob Gifford explains.
In the Irish Constitution, written in 1937, is a line saying that blasphemy is an offence punishable by law. The law that punished it was the 1961 Defamation Act. But now that act is being repealed, so the Irish government says it had to put a new law in place to uphold the Constitution. The new statute has had people of all beliefs and none scratching their heads. Michael Nugent is head of a group called Atheist Ireland.
We believe that that law is both silly and dangerous. That it's silly because it's essentially a medieval religious law, and it's dangerous because it incentivizes religious outrage.
So in order to test the law, Nugent has published on the group's website a series of 25 what he calls blasphemous quotes, and he's challenged the Irish government to prosecute him. The quotations include the words of Jesus, Muhammad and Pope Benedict, as well as writers such as Mark Twain and Salman Rushdie, and films such as Monty Python's Life of Brian. Nugent says the law is simply too ambiguous.
It defines blasphemy as publishing or uttering matter that is grossly abusive or insulting in relation to matters held sacred by any religion. It doesn't define what a religion is, thereby causing outrage, which again isn't defined, among a substantial number of adherents of that religion. And again, what's a substantial number? If it's an actual number, it discriminates against small religions. If it's a percentage of adherents, it discriminates against large religions.
So, says Nugent, the law is almost impossible to enforce. Amazingly, everyone seems to agree, even committed Catholics, of whom there are still many in Ireland.
Atheism in Ireland would be a very minority preoccupation.
William Revel is an academic at University College Cork who's campaigned for the continued influence of the church in Irish society. Even he, though, says he can't see why the law has been brought in.
I have no interest in it, really. After all, Jesus Christ was convicted of blasphemy and he was crucified on the charge of blasphemy. So it doesn't have the happiest history in the tradition of Catholicism.
Revel says the Catholic hierarchy has not pushed for the law at all, and indeed no senior churchmen have come out in recent days to defend it. Some observers have suggested the move is simply to bring the old law up to date with the increasingly multicultural, multi-faith nature of Irish society. Others, such as David Quinn, a former editor of the Irish Catholic newspaper, have their own theories.
My own personal theory is that it actually had to do with the Danish cartoon controversy of about 4 years ago, that there was a fear that we might get a Danish cartoon-style controversy in Ireland, that some newspaper might publish something that Muslims found highly offensive and it might have repercussions for Irish trade in the Muslim world.
There's been no sign so far that the Irish government is going to prosecute the group Atheist Ireland or indeed anyone else. So many people say the best step forward is to hold a referendum about deleting the clause from the 1937 Constitution, and then there would be no need for a law to uphold it. Rob Gifford, NPR News.
A founder of modern feminism has died. Mary Daly was a radical theologian. She died on Sunday at the age of 81. NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports.
10 years ago, in the twilight of her life, Mary Daly described herself this way.
I am a radical lesbian feminist, and it scares them.
Them is the Catholic Church, Boston College, where she taught for 3 decades, and what Daly regarded as a male-dominated society. But for many women, such as Sister Joan Chittister, a prominent nun, Daly was an icon.
She shocked us into seeing old things in a new way. She made us understand that we were blind to half our world.
The female half. She says Daly shook up Catholic theology, asserting that the Trinity, for example, was derived from triple goddesses in ancient culture. Daly also condemned male dominance in church, business, government, and society. Here she is on KDVS Radio in 2006.
Almost everything has been stolen from us by the patriarchy. Our creativity has been stolen. Our creative energies, our religion. I want it back.
Daly defied expectations from the start. Born in Schenectady, New York, of working-class Catholic parents, she earned three PhDs before joining Boston College's theology department in the mid-1960s. Her first book, called The Church and the Second Sex, got her fired in 1969, until the then all-male student body protested and demanded the school hire her back. Nevertheless, Daly avoided speaking to men and generally refused to attend department meetings. And after the college went co-ed, she almost always refused to let men into her classes. This decision ran her afoul of school policy and federal law, and in 1999, a male student sued the school. Daly said the student had not taken the prerequisite course, but she told NPR she found men disruptive.
I saw that women were repressed. When they're in classes with young men, they're shut up all the time. They're laughed at if they have unusual ideas. They have to be sexy. Then they can't really think.
Lawrence Cunningham, who teaches at Notre Dame, believes Daly went too far, and in the end will be only a footnote in Catholic theological history. But he says she was a huge voice in one of the most influential movements of the 20th century.
You could kind of describe her as the gold standard for absolute feminism. I mean, everybody, at least in Christian circles or feminist circles, would kind of measure their feminism against the standard that Mary Daly set.
And Cunningham says the female students he teaches today are the prime beneficiaries of Daly's radical life. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
You're listening to NPR News.